It's the unknown. Unknown. It's the unknown. Unknown creature.
Luke 13, 1 through 5. Now, there were some present at the time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Jesus answered, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? I tell you no, but unless you repent, you too will all perish, or those 18 who died when the tower in Siloam fell on them, do you think they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish."
Dear God, thank you for today and for the chance to come together. We're so grateful for the people who are listening and for the love you show us every day. Please help us to be kind, to make good choices, and to always remember that you are with us. Guide our hearts and minds as we share and learn, and help us to grow. In faith, love, and wisdom, bless our families, our friends, and everybody, and everyone listening. May we always feel your presence in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
That's what it feels like.
Feels like
looking around and seeing all these changes, and something don't feel right. Inflation got me feeling deflated, bills piling higher than gas prices. I'm frustrated, and it's getting harder not to want to freak out and just peace out. But too many people depend on me to want to leave now.
Waking up is getting hard to function,
banging on my head like it's percussion. Feels like all I do is just for nothing. I need to find a way out. Too much on my mind, it's hard to think straight. Same old song, I'm stuck inside the replay. All the stress is giving me a headache. I need to get away right now. So I'm walking off this planet, leaving it all behind. Searching through the endless galaxies of my mind. I don't know where I'm going, but I know what I'll find. And that's you, cause once I do, I know I'll be fine. I now realize you're the only one that I need. You're the source, you're the truth, you're the air that I breathe. I will fight through the dark just to enter your peace. There's a void in my space, but you're all that I I know I'll be fine. I now realize you're the only one that I need.
real quick. Hard to deal with, finding fulfillment. Feeling me cut loose, people I used to hold on to. I grew and no one knew what I was going through. Duke, now I'm on to you. Saw through the rouge and how you move. Proof of the jealousy taking root. Rooted and embellishing the truth as soon as I would leave the room. Thought we was cool, friendship with fluke. Used to say I was useful, a tool, a useful. Amused, but you won't be when the karma pursues you. Sick of wasting time at all of these functions. Doing nothing, trying to gain something. From my purpose, I am always running. Trying to find a way out. Tired of people always trying to use me. Hidden motives is the ways that they confuse me. Playing friend, but never even knew me.
They're not safe to be around. Cause I'm walking off this planet, leaving it all behind. Searching through the endless galaxies of my mind. I don't know where I'm going, but I know what I'm finding. That's you. Cause once I do, I know I'll be fine. I now realize you're the only one that I need. You're the source, you're the truth, you're the air that I breathe. I will fight through the dark just to empty your peace. There's a void in my space, but you're all that I
Falling in love with Jesus is the best thing I've ever done. And let me say it again. Falling in love with Jesus is the best thing I've ever done. Amen. Amen. Good morning. So I just want to be transparent with you all. It's been about 2 months now since I've disconnected from the news because everything I was seeing, and I think many of us feel this way. It just felt like the world was going sideways. Some will argue that the world just seems a little bit more evil, right? And I think you can look at the shootings, the earthquakes, the floods, war, injustices, and all of this can just pile up on you. So it was important for me to separate myself or disconnect. But every time someone somewhere asks the same question, or they ask a series of questions, why did that person die and I'm still here? Was it something they did wrong? And this is the big one we always hear. Why do bad things happen to good people? Why do bad things happen to good people? So the people in Luke 13 came to Jesus with the headline, Pilate had slaughtered worshipers while they were offering sacrifices. Right there in the temple is where this took place. And then another story, this is what was going on. A tower had collapsed in Siloam, crushing 18 people. 18 people. And they wanted answers. They wanted Jesus to interpret the tragedy, to connect the dots. And they wanted Jesus to name villains and victims and to give them a theology that made sense. But Jesus, in his brilliant and unsettling way, refuses to play their game, right? He doesn't analyze the crime scene. He doesn't discuss cause and effect. He's not playing their game or pointing blame, identifying heroes and villains in the story, but instead he analyzes the human heart. Jesus analyzes the human heart. See, Jesus doesn't just look at our actions. Amen. He sees and understands our motives, desires, and our intentions. And he does it in a way no one else can. And Jesus says, Do you think they were worse sinners than others? No. But unless you repent, you too will perish. In other words, don't just read the news. Let the news read you. This is the time for spiritual reflection. Let what's happening out there speak to what's happening in you. Don't worry about what's in the news, because at the end of the day, we are either afforded justice, which is unpleasant because we all are sinners, or we're afforded grace because we don't deserve it. And if we look at life this way, expect nothing, appreciate everything, if we would shift our perception, it would make a world of difference. And let's explore how human nature works. See, when tragedy hits someone, we instinctively want to explain it, don't we? We think, well, maybe they made bad choices. See, that's how our brain works. We're trying to figure this thing out and rationalize. Or we think maybe God was teaching them a lesson. Or we think maybe they didn't have enough faith. Don't we do that? Because as long as we can put blame on them, we can keep distance from it. And then we turn it on ourselves. I'm doing right, so God is protecting me. I understand who Jesus is. So you don't understand. I understand who Jesus is. Jesus has my attention, so he doesn't need to insert a tragedy for me to get it. But Jesus punched that hole in that theory. Yes, he shut down that distance. And Jesus is saying, don't interpret tragedy as a commentary on them. See it as a commentary on all of us. All of us. Tim Keller once said, when you see suffering, it's not your chance to feel superior. It's your chance to remember you're not immune. Don't see suffering as a spectator. See it as a reflection of your own need for mercy. We're all standing under the same sky, a sky that can fall on any of us at any given time. We're all breathing borrowed air. Everyone was telling me to watch this show called The Pit. And so I started watching it. Pretty good show. But in one episode, a woman was struggling with the fact that her father was transitioning. And they're in the ER, and she's talking to the doctor, and she says, he wasn't supposed to die like this. He wasn't supposed to die like this. See, he was a wonderful father, a great husband, and truly loved. And sometimes we think we're immune from a death that's not natural or peaceful. And Jesus is calling us not to speculate about the sin of others, but to reflect on the state of our hearts. And what I mean by that is, what are your motives? What are your desires, your values, and your attitude towards God? And let's pause long enough to ask ourselves, why do we do the things we do? Where does God fit in my life? Are we holding on to bitterness? Are we holding on to jealousy or contempt for others? Are we doing good things as a matter of pride? Do we sincerely love God? See, the way you treat people flows from the heart. The words you speak come from the heart. Even our life choices reveal our heart's intentions. Now, let's slow it down some. When Jesus says, unless you repent, you too will perish, he's not shouting condemnation. He's sounding the alarm and reminding us that grace is waiting. Repentance isn't God's way of rubbing your face in your failure. It's God's way of pulling you out of your sleepwalk. And now T.D. Jakes And he says something like this. I'm a paraphrase the best I can, but repentance is when your soul finally says, I'm tired of dying in slow motion. It's not just saying I'm sorry. It's saying, Lord, I see now my way leads to a dead end, but your way leads to life. Self-direction. Our way is an illusion of control. Self-direction, doing things our way, is an illusion of control. Living on our terms just won't cut it. And that road leads nowhere good. But Jesus doesn't just show us the way. He is the way. And no matter what you're going through, entering a relationship will lead to transformation. So every tragedy, every crisis, every headline, it's a divine reminder that life is fragile. Eternity is real and grace is available right now. And when someone we know leaves this world, and I know because I lost quite a number of people in the last 5 to 6 years. I lost my father in 2019, my mother-in-law in 2019 as well, my mother in 2022. And I remember the moment the social worker and doctor, they were explaining to us that mom was transitioning. And trust me when I tell you, it's just so much to process when they come at you with this, right? And mainly because you don't expect it. And they had to say the word transitioning a few times before it clicked in. It was just so surreal for us. But then after mom, I lost another member of my family, then another, and a stepfather, and cousins, and aunts, and you name it. And my family, often members of my family, we were all like, what's going on? Why are we getting hit? And I know in those moments, my relationship with God is what carried me through it. Again, falling in love with Jesus is the best thing I've ever done. And I was comforted by my friends, but the comforter was the Spirit, right? But someone we know leaves this world, and then we reflect on our lives. We conduct a self-assessment, right? Also, too, when we attend funerals, the pastor giving the eulogy doesn't just talk about the decedent. There's usually some verbiage to share with the people in attendance, asking them to repent if they haven't done so. Now, back to this passage, Jesus mentions a tower that fell, which was an accident. And he mentions a massacre, which represents human evil. One is random, the other intentional, but both expose the illusion that we're in control. See, we build towers, we establish careers, obtain degrees, make investments, have health plans, thinking they'll keep us safe. But towers fall, governments unfold, bodies weaken. And when they do, Jesus doesn't say, I told you so. He says, come home before it's too late. And sometimes God will also send a person whose walk with God is right, a person who's following God. God will sometimes send that person to you. Sometimes God will insert that person in your life so that they can be a witness and you can see what God has done for them. So you will get closer to God. So you will repent. Tragedies happen in this world. Jesus and his apostles often touched on this. Evil isn't just the absence of God. It's active. It's intelligent. It's an opposing force to the will of God. In philosophy, they call this the problem of evil. In other words, if God is good and powerful, why does he allow suffering? Theologians have wrestled with this question for centuries. Jesus does something surprising. He doesn't answer why the tragedy happened. He answered what the tragedy means. He redirects the question from cause to conversation, from why did they die to how are you living? Because sometimes the purpose of pain is an explanation, it's transformation. God doesn't owe us an answer. He offers us an opportunity. I'm going to tell you a true story. In 2007, the I-35 bridge in Minneapolis collapsed during rush hour. 13 people died. One survivor named Paula said something that caught our attention in our hearts. Now, Paula said, "I was in my car suspended in midair for what felt like forever. I thought that was the end, but somehow I climbed out alive. I don't know why I lived and they didn't, but I do know this. I've been given a second chance and I'm not wasting it." Think about a tragedy that was close to home or even one you saw on television. Did you feel God's presence? Was God speaking to you? In this real life story, Paula didn't blame God. She didn't claim superiority. She didn't say, "I must have done something right." She said, "I've been given a second chance." That's repentance in action. Not guilt, but gratitude. Not shame, but surrender. And when life collapses, literally or metaphorically, repentance is what helps us rebuild on something that won't collapse again. See, in our culture, repentance sounds like a one-time transaction. I did something wrong. I said sorry. We're good. But in the kingdom of God, repentance is a lifestyle of awareness. In other words, it's not about being sorry. It's becoming aware of God's truth, determining if your actions and motives align or don't align with God's heart. See, first there's awareness. Then you start to naturally align with God instead of going in the opposite direction. See, as Christians, we're constantly adjusting our actions, our thoughts, and our lifestyles. And we should be closer and closer with God. I was a Christian 10 years ago, but I was at a different place. 5 years later, I'm still at a much different place. Who I am now is a man who's that much closer to God. But the journey continues. We're still striving, still trying to do better. And we should continue moving in the right direction. See, as you're more aware, you're teachable. As you become aware, you're renewed. And this means we should be waking up each day saying, "Lord, search me. Am I living for you or just existing for me? Am I building towers or am I building altars?" You can't live transformed if you only repent when you crash. Repentance must become rhythm, a daily resetting of the soul. T.D. Jakes says if you can reset your phone, you can reset your spirit. Every time you open your Bible, every time you pray, every time you choose forgiveness over bitterness, you are repenting, recalibrating, returning to the one who holds it all. Now, right after this passage, Jesus tells a parable about a fig tree that wasn't bearing fruit. The owner wanted to cut it down, but the gardener said, "Give it one more year." That's God's heart right there, right? He's not eager to punish. He's patient to restore. He's given us time to bear fruit, to repent, to grow, to change. But for how long? For how long? Don't mistake God's silence for his absence. Don't mistake his patience for permission. He's giving you time, not because he doesn't care about justice, but because he cares about you. Now, maybe you're listening and you don't even call yourself a Christian. That's okay. Maybe you're a skeptic, a thinker, a searcher. But I have to tell you something. Jesus isn't trying to scare you into faith. That's not what this is about. He's inviting you into clarity. Free will is just what it means. See, God created us with the ability to choose. And our free will is part of God's image in us. We can create love, forgive. We can do so many things. But the big one is this: we can reflect God's heart. So here's what God is saying. Look around. Life is short. The world is fragile. You were made for more than survival. And to the believer, he's saying, don't get so used to grace that you stop growing in it. I have to repeat that. Don't get so used to grace that you stop growing in it. Every tower that falls, every tragedy we witness, every funeral we attend is heaven's reminder that eternity is one breath away. And repentance is not a punishment. It's a gift. Yesterday was a gift. Today is a gift. We pray tomorrow God will give us another gift. So what do we do with the headlines? What do we do when the tower falls, when the blood spills, when the question lingers? We let tragedy talk back. We let it remind us that life is fleeting. Sin is serious. Grace is real. And time is short. We turn the headline into a heart line, a direct line between our pain and God's promise, because one day the same Jesus who said, unless you repent, you too will perish, will also say, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you. So today, as the Spirit speaks, don't harden your heart. Don't hide behind explanation. Don't blame the tower or pilot or fate. Just say, Lord, I hear you. I'm coming home. Amen.
It's the unknown preacher.
Don't forget to follow the Unknown Preacher LA podcast. We're on all podcast platforms.
It's the unknown. Unknown. It's the unknown. Unknown preacher.